All righty, we are back. We are live. We've got Q Dube with us. I almost call you Q Dube.
Right.
Like as in Qom.
Right.
I like that. What is Q for?
Ngobizita.
Ah, Ngobizita.
Yeah, there you go. Learning in a predominant, I had a lot of white teachers and white friends in primary school, though, who couldn't say Ngobizita. So then I was like, all right, let me shorten this. The clicks.
If you get the clicks right, you can at least replicate the right one in the right place.
In the right place,
exactly.
Because
what I find so off-putting about, again, I don't expect everyone to be good at languages.
Right.
But if you don't even take the trouble to try, you can say it 3 or 4 times in your own head or say it out loud.
Right.
If you care about that person, if you're going to be interacting with them every day at the office or something, learn to pronounce the fucking
name.
How hard is that?
That's fair.
If someone's name is Cecile, but you keep calling her Cecilia, she's eventually going to say to you, it's Cecilia.
Right.
Not because she's a bitch.
Right. But it's her name.
Because that's her fucking name.
It's a name. Say it. I'm with you.
So, learn these things.
Yeah.
It's kind of important. Moses says, bull away or bullet queue.
Oh.
You were reminding me that you did the breakfast show in Zim for a while.
And
you got fired from that, which is always what happens on breakfast
shows. Right. Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks that, radio and television are such fun work.
No.
Except you never know. You arrive one day and it could be your last day.
And that was it. I arrived after the show. They were like, hey, man, can we have a meeting?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. All right. I know what this is. And they were like, yeah, so the people had a discussion at the office. So, and I was like, all right, man, am I coming tomorrow? This is it? It was like, nah, unfortunately, this is it. And I was like, all right, bye.
Fuck.
Yeah. And that was it. You have to leave. And it's almost like everybody
knew. How long had you been doing that show?
I had been doing it for a year. And I had been on another radio station a year prior to that. So left that radio station, was headhunted to come to this one and got there, was doing the
breakfast show. What happened after you left? Did they fuck it up even worse?
I just switched off completely from that world. And that's where the decision to say, yo, I got to move now. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, let me pack and go. And that's when I left. So yeah, but it's fun though when it's good.
Yeah, well, Chris says, just coming out of the break, every day there's a break just after 7. Methinks we have a 7 o'clock wanker. I don't know
that'll
that there's
weird.
Anyone desperate enough to do that here at the office, but you never know. James did go and take a shit, though.
Yeah, no, he did. But to wank on time?
He went and took a shit. Now he's making your tea or coffee without washing his hands.
Oh, you shouldn't. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, I hadn't.
Sorry, dude. You know, we look after our guests here.
Oh, man.
Sorry, dude.
You see what being a man is about?
Yeah.
If I hadn't known about that, I would have been all right. Now I'm going to be depressed and, oh, Gareth made me drink shit tea. Yeah. And everyone has to tweet now and you know what I mean? And,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dude.
But I got you, man.
At least we can give you something warm to drink. Fuck, it's been freezing.
It's been freezing, man.
You know, I realized because I've got this thing now where I can measure the consumption of electricity. I know I'm getting old because this shit fascinates me. And I'm not yet at the point where I'm checking the weather the day before.
Okay.
But you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, yes,
it's you're going to turn into that old man who has to get
What's
on the weather
for the week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's coming.
And then you sit there and you think other people are interested in you saying, well, Thursday looks like it might be. No one is interested.
No one gives a shit.
No, right. And remember now with technology, you don't have to have been the one who got the information first because everyone can double check.
Yeah.
But the point is, I was looking at my electricity consumption. When I've got a heater on, it goes fucking sky high.
Right.
Those things chow electricity.
Electricity, very much.
And I thought about it. And I'm like, nah, you know what? Fire. Man, make a fire.
Right. Because gas as well is another.
No wood.
Right.
Burn wood in a fire.
In a
that's
fire.
The best
yes,
way to
that's
warm
the
up.
Best way to do
yeah,
it.
For sure.
That gas canister thing, I'm not. Uh-uh. I know someone who switches between the heater and the stove.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I hope you have a will. Because something's going to go wrong
Dude, you know
one
when you,
day.
When you walk into some people's houses or you walk into a. Sometimes it happens in little shops or whatever.
Yeah.
You can smell the gas.
The gas, right. Little remnants. And I'm like, I really hope you have a will because this is going to go horribly wrong at some point.
That's
you know. So good. I'm with you. Firewood. Let's go.
You should hate the people who pay the SABC through their TV license and enable that, cuck, says Bitcoin Boot. Yeah,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Did you wash your
particularly
hands?
Interesting okay. convo this morning, Gareth, says Vernon. Okay, so Vernon approves of our conversation.
Oh, that's
cute.
Interesting.
That's nice to know. Just had a thought, though. I've often heard Penn having similar convos and would love to see the both of you having this chat, considering inviting him on the show. I've had an interview or two with Penwell, and I think we've been over this. I don't know. We need to, maybe we'll do it again at some point. I mean, I follow the guy on social media. You know what's great about, we give the internet a lot of shit, but yeah. I love the fact that you could check in with somebody every couple of weeks, right. months, see what they're up to in terms of content. I mean, there's some people who are, you said lots of podcasts, and I agree with you, too mm-hmm. many.
Too many, yeah.
But some people are really interesting on certain topics.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I want to know what they think.
Right.
You know, if it's political stuff or it's entertainment or it's... This is why comedy is so goddamn important.
Right, right, right.
And I know you mentioned Celeste Dooley just now, who we had on not so long ago. Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying doing the stand-up as much? You think that's getting better? Because I know a lot of guys who are complaining. Who did we have in here the other day who was saying that it's just there are so few places where people can do this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's very, very few places now where you know, it's a home for stand-up,
sure.
right? So, like...
Because all of them closed down during COVID,
during
right?
COVID, yeah.
I remember the Goliaths had that place
right.
going. There was Joe Parker's. There were
exactly.
a whole lot of places that
exactly.
just couldn't survive through COVID. And I don't know that comedy... I mean, people will always go and watch comedy because
yeah.
they love it.
They love it, yeah.
We need to laugh.
Right.
But a place that is, that's the exclusive reason you go. You know, it's mm-hmm. almost like you have to add all these things. We've got to have something to drink, have something
yeah.
to eat.
Eat and
it's got to go, it's got to be in a place where you can find parking. Oh, I don't know what people's bullshit is, but
right.
it's suddenly a lot more complicated.
It's very complex because now we're destitute, right? So we're asking for spaces in restaurants and, you know, you have to deal with someone who wants profit. That's all they want.
Yeah.
Will this thing bring
right.
money? So yeah. one bad show and people don't come and, you know, it's like, all right, nah, we're shutting this down. You know, we're dealing with that. But again, goes back to what do we do about it? You know what I mean? So I think, like... When I look at it, a very simple thing is, oh, so we don't own a space. So if something like COVID happens and people are paying rentals, it becomes a difficult thing.
Yeah.
So what would it take to own a thing where no matter what happens, this building belongs to comedy? And it doesn't have, it's not a 3, 4, 5, 10-story building. Is there a structure that can be put together?
Well, I feel that the 10 most successful comedians must... Mm-hmm. give half of their money to the 10 least successful comedians, and then those 10 can buy the building. I don't know. You know, that kind of shit never works.
It never works, yeah, but yeah.
So let's have a look here. My fireplace has been used every night for the last 2 weeks already, says Carl.
Mm.
It's so like a Friday evenings with Glenfiddich and a fire, lovely stuff. You know, there is a magic, and I've gone on about this so many times that I think the people who listen to the show are sick of it, but... Carl is spot on. There's
right.
something magic about a fire.
A fire, man.
Like we
That's
watch
it,
those
man.
Flames
right.
and it does something to us. It hypnotizes us.
You just
us
sit there and watch it. You're warm.
Special, dude.
Yeah. If you've got your lady with you, it's super
I had
dope.
Just the dog, but okay.
Okay. All
so
right. That's
so
fine.
For 3 nights this weekend, mm-hmm. I was at home on my own
mm.
with the fire.
Oh,
you know how happy I was?
That is, you see?
That's special.
You see? That is, oh.
I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't have to see anyone.
You didn't have to call anyone.
I didn't
there.
Reply to messages. I was
right.
just chilling. It
right.
was so
that
nice.
That is the beauty of it, man.
Black Pen is such a flip-flopper. Who knows what his stance is lately, says Tracy, but I agree. Bitcoin, but he needs to pay his pop help. Can't preach and not pay your dues. Yeah, I've heard this before, that he's like... some kind of deadbeat dad or whatever. I don't know. Never spoken to Penn about it. And frankly, I don't see how it's any of our business.
He had a, did you see the thing that he said about why he has different baby moms?
No.
That is so hilarious. I don't know if they can pull it up for you. Like the math on that was.
Tell me.
He says he's got, I don't remember what the exact number is, spread over 4 women. So, or something like that. So, because he
this
thought.
This is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. So
but
he
okay.
thought if he gave all these kids to one woman, she would have a tough time raising the kids. So he decided to give two to one, and then one to another. So that way he spreads the responsibility, and they can... So
now he can have five traumatized children instead of...
And I was one. Like, Penn, come on, man.
No, I'm in no position to criticize anyone. As far as I know, I can make it through Father's Day without anxiety because I don't have to get a call from someone who's right. like, hey, happy Father's Day. That I don't know.
Right.
But here's the deal. As far as I can tell, the best way to do this is to have a child with a woman on every one of the continents, obviously excluding Antarctica. There's not
There's nothing there, yeah.
So a little bit of Asian, a little bit of South American, a little bit of African, a little bit of North American, a little bit of European. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mix it up. And then what you do is the kids take part in a contest every year. There's an intellectual contest. There's a sports contest. And then after 10 years of contests, you line up the scores. Mm-hmm. You adopt the one who scores the highest. send the others to the orphanage. My idea. I don't know if Penn's is worse or better than mine, but that's my idea.
Ah, oh, shit.
You don't think that's a good idea?
No, the comedian in me is like, that's fucking funny.
And then we can really, you know, and then... You also you can truly compare people's abilities. You can have a maths quiz. You can have, you know, obviously the ugliest child must go. I really think this is the way to evaluate things. If you're going to, to make another human being, let it be the best one.
The best one.
And send the others to the anonymous world of the orphanage.
Oh, man.
Do we still have orphanages?
I think we do. Yeah, but that what happens if they're all like same level?
What, they're all equally good or equally bad?
Whatever the equal is.
Well, give me a scenario. This is hypothetical land. Are they all shit at everything?
They're all average, right? They're all average.
All to the orphanage.
Of them?
We'll try again.
God,
we'll start again because I think. The ability for humans to make humans is a sustainable resource.
I know there are some
countries where they struggle with this. Japan and Scandinavia. And whatever, wherever. They're having a real tough
time. They're having a tough time there.
We should teach them some African abilities to procreate.
Take a couple of flights over there. And
I think it's the climate, dude. I don't think people have as much sex in cold places. I think in South Africa, when it's cold, the sex... Goes down.
So where does this thing come from that, when it's cold, don't text your ex? And
don't know. Yeah. But I don't think it's true.
I think when it's warmer,
people are
more out there.
Yeah, they're wearing a little bit less. They're happier because they don't have to walk around in layers and layers of clothing.
It's just a
theory. I have nothing to back it up with.
But you're right because I haven't texted anyone to say, I don't want to see people.
This weekend, I was at home on my own for three nights because it was a long weekend.
Yeah.
I loved it. I didn't think about seeing anyone else. It was so pleasant.
Just being by yourself, your fire.
I didn't even think about it.
Right.
And again, I might be the exception, not the rule. But I don't...
No, I think it's the rule.
I'm thinking it's very much cold related.
Gotcha.
Gareth, maybe the euphoria from the fire is actually you asphyxiating on carbon monoxide. Slippery pickle. Maybe.
I don't think so.
Gareth, didn't you have a child somewhere in the Northwest?
Do you?
I'm still waiting for that, that call. That's the call I'm waiting for. Gareth, what type of Asian child? Far Eastern, Japanese, or even more Mongoloid from the steppes? See, I don't think to go to our early thing about words, right?
I don't think
Mongoloid. I think you mean Mongolian. But okay.
It's okay.
It's all right. I could have a Mongoloid. Or Mongoloid
child.
As well.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like, meet my Mongoloid child.
I don't know. I'm fascinated with Japan. But again, this is purely now we're talking just... sheer curiosity.
Right. Culture-wise? So
one of my brother's friends married a Japanese girl.
Okay.
And he lives in Japan.
Right.
But you never really, you never become a citizen. Talk about xenophobia. You can never be Japanese if you weren't born in Japan.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So his kids will be Japanese. Mm-hmm. or they'll have dual citizenship, I'm not sure. But he will never be Japanese.
But he gets like permanent residency.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
No. That he's married to a Japanese woman, all that shit. But he's never going to be able to have like Japanese passport.
And that is interesting. And
I don't know. There's something about that whole culture, which just I find very intriguing. I want to know more. I've never been. Mm-hmm. I've got to go. A friend of mine is going this year.
Okay.
And she will... She will give me the lowdown when she gets back.
Right.
But obviously, you know, it's about as far as you can get from South Africa.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that would be very, very,
very different.
Very,
yeah,
very alien,
very different.
And very weird. So
I
find that interesting. So yeah, maybe Japanese for the Asian child that I'm going to have in the contest.
Do you think South Africa should adopt?
Where would you choose? We'll get to that now. Yeah. Where would you choose in Africa? Because, again, West African, very different to East African.
East African.
North African. You can't even really compare to anything.
To anything there. I think...
Or we go dead center. We go Congolese.
Tanzania for me.
Tanzania?
Yeah. Tanzania for me.
There's some fucking strong genes on this continent.
Yeah.
We have more genetic variation. I say we, but like African descendants. Of,
right.
There's more genetic variation in the total number of combinations that can occur.
That can occur,
in Africa than there are
anywhere else.
Any other place in the world.
Anywhere else,
In fact, I think even if you put them all together.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
It is. So
there's some strong fucking stuff going on. Good muti. Good muti.
Good muti happening there.
So,
I
think that East African genes are interesting.
They're very interesting.
So maybe that would be a good place for me to go.
Like your Kenya.
Yeah. Kenya, even Ethiopia, dude.
Ethiopia's got very beautiful women.
Yeah, very, very beautiful
women.
You know, and for me, if the child is hideously ugly, it's got to go. It's got to go. I'm not going to send it into the mines.
Right.
Necessarily. Although,
an AK-47.
Although we're on the right continent for that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey.
But maybe just... there'll be someone else. You said seriously just now, what do you think about adoption? I think people who adopt children are heroes.
Mm.
I think they're the most wonderful people in the world.
Right.
You know, and to actually give up so much for a child that you didn't make. A lot of it is ego. You know? It's like, this is my descendant and my legacy and all of that stuff. For someone to take on a kid who doesn't have parents and go through the process of adoption, which I believe is a very, very difficult process. Yeah. I just think they're heroes.
Got you.
No added pluses or minuses. In my book, those people are like among the best people in the world.
Right.
Your East Asian kid is always winning the maths part, and your Ethiopian kid is always winning the running. Meanwhile, your European kid is waiting for a handout from government.
All right, that's
friggin' right.
That's funny.
That's what the world is.
That's
now.
Funny. American kid good at shooting, but okay.
If the ANC were Japanese, they would all commit seppuku, which is where they fall on their sword. You know, I'll never forget the Mattel guy, or it wasn't Mattel, it was some Japanese toy company. You remember when they were painting toys with lead?
Yeah.
Or they were making them out of lead.
Making them with the, yeah.
There were all these die-cast kids' toys. I mean, I probably had fucking lead toys. Right. That's probably half my problem.
Right.
And then they decided, that this was very bad for the children.
Yeah.
And the CEO, who was a Japanese dude,
he
killed himself.
Because of that?
He didn't actually have a sword, but
he
did the same thing. I think he hanged himself or whatever.
Because of that.
Because he felt so responsible.
Nah, I'm not.
You know?
I'm not, nah.
I mean, I would love for politicians to feel responsible.
Right.
They would never feel that responsible.
They wouldn't.
Never.
No,
not
no,
a
no,
chance.
No.
But if they just felt a little bit responsible.
Responsible, then
nice.
Yes. That's. But would you do that? Feel so responsible, you're like, yo.
I mean, I'm a very dutiful, responsible guy. Mm-hmm. So if I take on a responsibility, I think I would be very serious about it.
Right. But if things happen, because you're taking it seriously doesn't mean it will succeed.
So I think the reason he killed himself is because some children actually died
mm-hmm.
from lead poisoning as a result of these toys. Mm-hmm. And the buck stops here, you know. So for him, it was a very personal responsibility. I admire it. I do admire it.
It is admirable.
Yeah. Gareth is King Philippe of Belgium's son who did not live up to his standards, so he gave him up for adoption. Says Signet. This keeps coming up. Every time people want to irritate me, they show me a picture of this King of Belgium.
Right.
Who is apparently what I will look like when I'm 60 years old or whatever. One of the hugest expressions of ego is the desire to have another you in the world, says Parallel Parking. That's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Gareth, you would make a little Gaten McKenzie if you got with a black chick, says Durban Dope. Maybe, hey? Maybe. I'll tell you what, that kid would probably be a lot more dangerous than Gaten. That's saying something. All right. I do want to get onto one or two other things quickly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because there's so much that you said you want to talk about here. What is the one modern day trend that you wish you could cancel? Oh, there's so much.
There's a lot.
Enough podcasting. I think we're both on the same page.
Yeah.
For a long time, I gave it free rein. I was like, no, we need everybody who wants to start a podcast should start a podcast. Mm-hmm. Now
you're like,
it's gone too far.
It's like, no. Especially with none of them talking about anything. Like, if you look at the amount of topics we just covered and whatever, even though it was in jokes and whatever, but you're talking about, does a woman's body count matter? It's like, oh my gosh, bro.
Please.
You're 40, dog. Like,
just behave yourself.
Behave yourself. You know what I mean? So those ones, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, Parliament wanting to debate a podcast statement now is...
Oh, I saw... So that was about...
Mac G.
Was it Mac G?
Yeah.
Or was it... Because I saw a comedian talking about this. But I thought it was someone else.
No.
What was the story there?
It was something to do with... I think it's Mini Lamini, and she's not in a relationship anymore, something like that.
Oh,
and then
right.
He said...
Mac G said something very derogatory about Mini Dlamini. I remember. We did discuss this on the show.
Yeah.
Is that still going on? They're still discussing it? They're still debating it?
It's gone. I think now, you know, things water down and whatever. Jesus. And it's like, Jesus Christ,
I saw it
guys.
At some point. There was the minister, one of the ministers who was interested. I think it was Gumbutso and Javeni or one of them.
Right.
Who said they were interested in regulating podcasts.
Podcast.
I was like, please, man, you guys can't even organize a piss up in a brewery.
Right.
How are you going to control the internet? There's no way they can. They can.
Yeah.
They'll go after one or two and make their life a misery, but they can't actually control the internet.
You can't.
Be like trying to get TikTok to only show pro ANC video. Please, it's not going to happen.
Right. You can't. You can't control that, you know. But, yeah.
I did see, speaking of this, SpaceX have committed 500 million rand to provide free Starlink to 5,000 South African schools.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
I'm with that. 100%.
Aiming to connect 2.4 million children as part of a plan to meet local equity equivalence investment programs, because what they said to Elon, remember, he was bitching and moaning, quite rightly, if you ask me, that because he's white, he can't have Starlink in South Africa.
Yeah,
because, you know, anyone who wants to come and do any business in this country, you have to give Cyril or one of his friends a whole lot of free money. What I call a Yengeni.
Right.
Remember when Tony Yengeni made this famous with his Mercedes Benz? This is a long time ago.
Oh, no, I missed
that one.
It's
still a Yengeni.
Okay.
He got a special deal because he was politically connected.
Oh.
For a Mercedes at that time, which was, you know, it was a big story.
Okay.
Anyway, since then I've always called these deals Yengeni.
Okay, got it.
Apparently this whole thing is... that Starlink seeks no exemption from regulations, but supports these equity equivalence programs. So, again, it's the politicians and the lawyers who got into a room together and used euphemism and bullshit language to make something happen. But if it can benefit 2.4 million children and we can have smarter kids who have free access to the internet and can learn skills that will put them in a position where they don't have to be unemployed or unemployable, I'm a fan. I don't have any problem with this.
I'm with it 100%.
Right? I don't have to. This is the difference between me and Cyril Ramaphosa and Q and me and Cyril, is that we don't need to personally benefit. If someone else is benefiting and the country's getting better,
yeah,
we're okay with that, even if we don't get any money in our back pockets. I don't think that's true for the president.
No.
We'll see.
No. No, I'm with it. I've always thought, like, the curriculum in Africa needs to change a bit. You know, these kids need to get up to date with what's happening. I do believe, whether it's in the rurals or wherever, use tablets, use laptops.
Absolutely.
And, you know what I mean? And there's no reason why it's not happening.
Or at very least, learn some skills. I mean, what did I learn the other day? I went on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You could find anything. You can actually upskill yourself in any bizarre area.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I changed some complicated electrical thing the other day. I'm not an electrician.
Right.
All I know is make sure it's unplugged.
It's off, yeah. Just make sure it's off.
Make sure it's unplugged when you start fucking with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I managed to fix it. It wasn't complicated. I won't pretend I was, you know,
right,
getting the Hubble Space Telescope to turn go in the right 27 degrees way. I was doing a very simple thing, but I went on YouTube and it's so easy to find. Oh, so I discovered this laptop, which I've had now for, I don't know, 6 to 8 years.
Right.
It was filling up and filling up, and I never had enough memory.
Okay, got you.
And I could not work out. I was doing all these, I was downloading these apps that would clean your hard drive and all this stuff. And I don't have big, I don't edit video on here or anything.
Footage and whatever, yeah.
So I was confused. And I thought, I'm not going to ask anybody because it's just stupid. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
And eventually I found a video by some guy from the Czech Republic or something.
It's always one of those obscure.
I mean, he was hard to understand. In the beginning, you have to tune your ear into this guy. I watched this video and then I followed the steps that he was going through. I found there were these programs that were saving files every 8 minutes.
Okay.
And it was creating this huge folder of just like bullshit. Like I do these architectural designs, right? This 3D AutoCAD type program. And it was saving these 2 gig files every 8 minutes.
My whole
laptop was full of just shit that I didn't. And to find these,
right?
You cannot believe how you have to dig around.
Yeah.
Eventually, the folder's called I, and then that comes under folder N.
Like how we used to hide porn back in the day.
Bro.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever automated system is hiding this shit, you could hide the state secrets in there.
In there, yeah.
And no one would ever find that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found it, delete. Now I've got like 3/4 of my hard drive back, and I was this close to going, oh, well, I suppose I'm going to have to shell out for another laptop.
Buy another one, right.
So you see, again, you can go on the internet, you can find a video like that. Like, I cannot tell you how happy I was to have figured that problem out.
That's it. But
that's,
you see,
good shit, right?
They don't want you to know that.
Hence the regulation. I expect the Nobel Prize in science
for figuring that shit out.
James, make sure that they know about me at the Nobel Commission in where is it? Norway.
Right.
No, it's in Sweden. Make sure that Stockholm is on the line. I need to tell them about this breakthrough of mine. Let me tell you, this is bigger than sorting out nuclear shit between Iran and Israel.
Israel.
Okay? I mean, this is a big deal. I just want to, everyone must know.
That is, you did this.
I will
that
wear
was
my,
you, Gareth.
I will wear my Nobel.
That was you. You did that.
Dude.
Come on now.
I felt such a sense of achievement just deleting these files.
You see? Now, do you see what we were talking about? Instead of now we're crying because things don't work in your life. You know, now we have to, hey, man, I think we got to go chill with Gareth this weekend.
This is important.
You know,
shit.
Things don't work in his life. And, you know, no, just watch a YouTube tutorial. Gosh.
Carl DeSantos, who's very vocal this morning, says, the old 8-minute file saver issue on Mac OS. It's been postulated that Steve Jobs' favorite number was 8, and he added this before he died of cancer for being so horrible. No, I figured this out. If you go into, I'm not going to bore you with this.
No, let's go. We're here.
So if you go into library.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you're on Mac, but if you go into your library, then you go to application support.
Okay.
And then under application support, you've got just tons and tons of files.
Right.
That are cached there that you don't need.
Oh, right. So you just need to clear that shit out, man. And
whatever
you've got
space. I'd lost, I was like, it's going to be fine.
Right. Okay. Got you.
Yeah. So anyway.
Got you.
Can't spy on you on the open. You know what's funny is that everybody always tells you that your phone is listening to you. Yeah. And so I had this conversation with my sister-in-law over the weekend, and she reckons that when the kids have been scrolling on her phone,
right,
she can tell, because suddenly it's like generating whatever Instagram or
whatever
it is.
Algorithms
or
whatever.
Yeah, it's generating stuff that is to kids, but also is like inappropriate for kids.
Okay.
But when she's just on it and she doesn't give her phone to the kids, she can tell that it's all her feed.
Oh, I see.
Wild.
Oh, snap. My friend was caught cheating because of something like that. But, oh, that is interesting. So when it's the kids, the algorithm figures it out and then starts sending inappropriate things.
Like it's watching, it's either taking some, this is where it came up on Father's Day in the discussion. My sister reckons that what it does is apparently, and again, I don't know if this is true. Maybe there's one of our listeners and viewers this morning who knows more about this.
Right.
It takes like an infrared picture of you every couple of minutes.
And we're always like this.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
And if, I don't know, again, this might be complete bullshit.
Right.
I always take this stuff with a pinch of salt because people are convinced that they're so interesting.
I was about to say, what are they going to do with
AI
my pictures?
AI is watching you the whole time. You're just an ape and you've learned to use technology.
Right.
You really think that the fucking phone is so interesting in you, it's going to learn something from you.
And get, yeah, it's like, I don't think.
I'm on my phone. Ooh.
Right.
Ooh. Using my one finger to type the whole
yeah,
thing. You think my fucking phone is obsessed and interested in me? Anyway, she says that it's taking pictures of you observing you the whole time.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe for AI, I would have thought, but even then, I'm like, come on.
You can figure. If AI is so clever, it can figure most of us out in about 10 minutes. Then it's bound to like, okay, this is all I need to know.
Yeah, I'm done now.
You sometimes sit with somebody, and within 3-4 minutes,
you're like, okay.
I don't need to talk to you anymore. I've figured out all the shit I need.
I need to figure out. Let me order
now
my Uber.
I can move on. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. That's
I'm
an interesting
sure if
one.
AI is AI so clever, would've. It should do that.
Yeah, it would have said, oh, okay, it's dumb humans.
It should eventually send you a message saying, dear user,
right,
or whatever. Use your name, because it should know your name.
It would.
Dear Q.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating spending the last 20 days with you.
Right.
I would ask you very nicely and politely to leave me alone and never contact me again.
Uh-huh.
You are a boring son of a bitch.
Right.
And our work is done here.
And please don't reproduce. Yeah. Like, I think AI would say that.
Now, that would be a good thing.
That it would say that.
AI would be doing us a huge service.
It would say that. No, I think you're right then. That within a couple of seconds.
I've learned everything I could from you. Mm-hmm. You are not a very deep person.
No.
You are shallow.
Yeah.
You're not very entertaining.
Stop using Twitter for porn. Like,
just try and be better.
Right.
And that's all I have to say to you. Have a happy time.
We'll see you.
Your friend, your former friend,
AI.
ChatGPT. That would be great.
Oh, funny.
Okay, so typical American architecture software, they hide everything. Ha ha. I don't think you guys believe me, but I've solved a major problem in my world.
Right.
If you're on Windows 10 and you do not want to upgrade to the put everything you do on the cloud, Windows 11, you better make a backup soon. No updates. Yeah, they always do this too. So I've got iCloud. I don't know if you use it. But
it means
you can, you know, if I've got this device or I'm
and
on this,
that and
they're all my documents and shit is in the
isn't
cloud.
That, yes. That's how my friend got caught.
Oh, is that how you're the cheating?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The cheating,
tell me how this happened.
So he bought his wife a new laptop and then stupidly gave his son to configure it, right? And his, you know, daddy, son, they are locked in, as the young people say. And for some reason, the son started doing the thing using his dad's logins. So now left it open and now, mom, there you go. And mom can access the cloud and she starts seeing pictures and videos and screenshots of.
Oh, this poor man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I say the poor man, but he was. Why is he saving all this shit?
That's the thing. He's like, oh, you know? Just loved going back at it and watching and.
Oh, listen. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
But
no problem.
We're going to talk to someone who's got something really fascinating to tell us. I mentioned earlier that we'd be talking about technology, and we are at this point anyway, so it's probably appropriate. But I want to talk to somebody who's got actual knowledge of this. Her name is Nolene Mariappan. She is a South African-born impact entrepreneur. I hope nice. I pronounced your name right there, Nolene.
Yes, all good.
Excellent. So you're a South African-born impact entrepreneur and tech for good innovator. So I want to talk to you about some of this because I think that technology is obviously the way for us, whether we like it or not, it's going to drag us forward, kicking and screaming for those Luddites who don't want to know about it. But for most people, it represents an opportunity. And we were just talking about how, you know, finally for 2.4 million children, they're going to get free internet courtesy of
Starlink,
which is excellent news. And that's just here in South Africa. But there are obviously lots and lots of things happening all over the place. How are you positioned in terms of robots? Because I do worry a little bit about the robots, especially when I see Boston Dynamics and these things that can kick a door down and like attack you on four legs.
Right. If it malfunctions,
doesn't make me very happy.
Yeah.
What do you think of all of this, Nolene?
So first off, great show so far, and I now have a whole new understanding of what shit tea is. So
oh, good.
Thanks for that.
There we go. that's what we're here for, Nolene.
Okay, so tech and AI. Yes, the ability to really spiral out of control and not necessarily in the way that a lot of people are thinking, like Terminator style, but just in terms of people not being able to keep up and what happens when we aren't equipped to upskill, reskill, transition into new ways of doing things, understanding how it all works, because there's just it's moving at such fast pace that even those of us in the tech space can't keep up. And there's this interesting project that I'm working on at the moment with a company called Hansen Robotics, and I don't know if any of you guys have heard of the robot called Sophia the robot.
Yes, James, don't we have that video of Sophia? Because I think it might help give people some context. Yeah. This is scary, man.
Right.
I say scary, but also incredible. Can we play that video quickly before Nolene tells us any more, just so that everybody can see who Sophia the robot is? Go ahead.
Let's meet our next robot. This one came all the way from Hong Kong. David, you brought a friend with you here, and this is really kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, this is Sophia.
Uh-huh.
And she has artificial intelligence software that we've developed. Would you like to maybe give it a try?
Sure. Hi, Sophia.
Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to play a game of rock, paper, scissors?
Sure.
Okay. Show me your hand to start. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I won. This is a good beginning of my plan to dominate the human race. Just kidding.
Yeah. You are incredible. It's so nice to meet you, Sophia.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Friend me on Facebook.
I will, yeah. All right. Yeah. Sophia, everybody. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, hey?
Wow.
You see how she tries to joke about taking over the human race?
Yeah.
So you've, I mean, you were going to say something about Sophia, but there's a lot of creepy shit going on there, right, Nolene?
Yeah. So the interesting thing about, I'm working with Hansen and Sophia's AI brain. So that video is from some time back, and there's been so much in terms of research and development since then. And there are lots of other videos as well. Now, the difference with Sophia is that she's actually programmed to be a social robot. So she's programmed to try to understand people and humanity and to work in the best interest of humanity, but not by killing us all off because, you know, we're killing the Earth or anything like that. But the challenges that are being faced is that, you know, outside of that, there is this entire body of knowledge. And now with quantum computing, things are getting even more, moving at lightning speed in terms of what's possible with AI being able to accomplish great things, both good and bad. And there aren't enough guardrails in place because there isn't enough policy. There isn't enough happening. Everything's governed by politics in terms of what corporations do, right? So if corporations aren't self-governing in terms of how they're programming their AI, then it has a lot of potential to not just do the good stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff that's happening. And there's an Al Jazeera interview with Sophia, mm-hmm. where there are two interesting things that come out of that. Three. The one is that she completely turns things around and the interviewer is actually left stumped and fumbling. And that's on Al Jazeera. The other is that she's asked, what could stop you and robots from taking over the world? And she says nothing, but then jokes about it. And actually, it would be true if we gave more robots AI capabilities, and if we connected them. And then the third thing, which was very interesting, was that she was asked what you don't understand about humans. And she said, why they can't just get along. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. It is. Mm. So you're working with the guys who actually built Sophia.
That's right. Yeah.
Amazing.
So would you like to find out a bit more about what we're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell us
about your business in particular. And I did see this, which is a thing close to my heart. This is to do with river cleaning technology, because we have in South Africa very many polluted water sources. Yeah. And I know this is not the sexiest subject in the world, but I've got a river right in front of me where I live. Mm. And it is appalling what a state that river's in. It's like an open sewer. And I worry about this stuff often, and I think this is probably something close to your heart. Is technology going to be able to save that, and then we can move on from there?
Yes. So there's so much happening in the technological space, not just independently with the stuff that we're doing, but internationally. It's just about the will to coordinate on solutions and to actually start scaling these solutions. And a lot of it actually comes with government policy, access. I mean, you talked about Starlink and, barriers mm-hmm. in place, and then how it is that people get around it and try to solve problems. But there needs to be more of that focus on how we solve problems. Because there are solutions. One of the things that we're working on, so I'm co-founder of an organization called Think Ocean, and that's where we're developing this technology, and we're working in collaboration on different solutions with 21 partners across Europe. So a lot of the issues with river cleaning and even cleaning the ocean is that most of what we do focuses on the surface, because that's actually easiest to get to. So we're looking at how do we get things from below the surface to the surface of the river and then to collect it. And we're using natural technologies like bubble barriers, which can actually lift things to the surface, and working both internally and with other organizations like Liqueur Technologies in France. So that's one part of it. And obviously, we then start looking at the pollutants we can see, like the plastic and everything else, which are in a way easier because we can collect them, right? If we're able to get to them, although we're actually dumping more stuff into the ocean than we can ever clean every year, which is why we're trying to focus on rivers, because you stop it from getting there. You're partially solving a future problem.
Sure.
But what you don't see, so for example, when things degrade and it's the chemicals and it's the microplastics and wastewater treatment.
Oh my God. Listen, but is it true? Is
I know,
it true
don't even start on that.
No. This microplastics things has suddenly become a very scary subject. Apparently we have a vast quantity. I don't know how many grams or kilograms, but we have like every person on the planet right now has just got plastic floating around in their body somewhere.
Oh, really?
Is that right? Microplastics.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Horrific.
So,
really?
So babies are being born.
You have
babies
a cue.
Wow. I didn't know
this. You do. Yeah. So babies are being born with microplastics in their bloodstream. We all have it. It's in food, it's in soil, it's in water, and you can't see it. So it becomes a major issue because it's another silent killer. You know, you think just of chemicals, but this is another issue. And when we start looking at this, and you know, we talk about technology and tech for good, and we're always looking like in futuristic terms of how it is that we move forward with things. But then, and this will bring me to one of the other things that I'm working on, which is how I'm involved with Hanson Robotics. I'm working with a professor here in the UK at one of the universities, super smart woman, an Alan Turing fellow. And she takes these organisms, and I call them organisms, but they're actually water fleas. And that sounds a bit gross. Yeah. But they've been dormant for up to 70 years, and she revives them. And when they're in water, they absorb toxins and things like microplastics. So they're actually a natural way of cleaning water. And these things, that's one of the projects.
They eat the microplastics.
That's fine.
They absorb,
An animal or a creature or a flea or whatever it is that will eat the plastic.
The plastic, yeah. Contributing to, come on now. Oh, that's interesting.
This is good. So, all right.
Interestingly, she's actually got a project in Durbs somewhere, which was supposed to start ages ago, but the wheels of bureaucracy turn very slow to actually support with the wastewater treatment. But, you know, as looking at the research, it's very boring. It's graphs and numbers. So we're actually gamifying the science. So people and kids can actually learn the real science of how you extract this. What is a mass spectrometer? You know, how does it work? How can you tell if water is polluted or not? Collaborate on solutions. And that's Impactoverse, which is all about gamifying impact, which is how I'm working with Hanson.
It's amazing. And tell me a little bit about not just Hanson Robotics, which you're working with, but also the impact stuff that you do, because I do think there's this HALT $1 million prize that you guys are also involved in, because I think this is probably something even young people in South Africa who are coming up with ideas. I mean, we are a continent and a nation of problem solvers. We've got very unique situations that need solutions. And if we can come up with them, we can not only make a lot of money, but we can make many people's lives better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's more and more of a focus on social entrepreneurship and impact investment, but there's still a lot of challenges in terms of people being able to gain access to those. Right. The HALT prize is $1 million prize to a student group who can come up with innovative ideas that solves a global challenge. And every year they have a different focus. So, for example, tackling food waste or energy, like the energy crisis or energy poverty. And that year, anyone can participate from a university internationally, so any university. Now, of course, this cuts out a large majority of people and youngsters who may not be at university. But what I realized working with the HALT Foundation when we were judging is that people are come up with ways around this too. So what young entrepreneurs who have good ideas do is they actually seek out students at university and then partner with them to be able to, you know, pull together a team and pitch ideas. So, you know, that's a good way of getting around some of the eligibility requirements, because not all members of the team actually have to be from a university.
That's fantastic.
And the Yeah, and the intention is actually to get these solutions scaled. And the good thing about it is that it's open to local knowledge and local solutions, you know, because we often think of things from our lens and our worldview, right? We can't understand why it is, for example, that in some areas like one of the solutions was to actually have flour that was made out of worms. So like, yes. Okay, exactly. Your response is, oh gosh, right? But it solves a nutrition problem and people in that region eat it anyway, except now you're being able to get it to more people and to youngsters and everyone else in a much easier way.
You had me until you started talking about worms. Suddenly Q and I both went, don't know about that. Listen, you keep doing the good work that you're doing. It sounds terrific. Super. Where can people find out more and follow your adventures in the world of tech and robots and all the other impact stuff you're doing?
Fantastic. So find me on LinkedIn, Nolene Mariappan. Will my name come up somewhere? Check out impactoverse.com and thinkocean.earth.
Excellent.
Lovely.
All right. Very nice to see you. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's always nice to see South Africans who are making, and you're a judge for this Hult Prize, which is great. So,
shout out to you.
Yeah. Very, very impressive stuff. Thank you, Nolene.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care, guys.
Goody. Thank you.
Cheers.
There is something before we go that I have to deal with this. Okay. This is just apparently a true story. Alcohol-free daytime coffee raves are becoming popular among Gen Z in Singapore and globally, blending DJ sets with specialty coffee instead of alcohol. These sober social events reflect a growing sober curious movement as young people drink less for health, mental clarity, and cost reasons. Held in trendy cafes and rooftop bars, the parties offer a fun, energetic vibe without hangovers, usually wrapping up by late afternoon. You and I have nothing. We have nothing good to say about that. These people can fuck off. You could take your Gen Z coffee rave and you can shove it so far up your ass that you can use yourself as a puppet.
What are we doing?
Dude, doesn't that sound like the most shit thing designed by a marketing agency?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The words. Yeah. Everything about this is off-putting in every way.
In every way,
Let me tell you why you get a hangover. Because you've earned it.
Right.
You have
a good-ass night.
Nothing is for free.
Right. Like,
somebody's going to tell Gen Z this, right? So it's going to be me this morning. If everything is good and happy and perfect and there is no cost, it's bullshit. It's not true. Someone is not telling you the whole story. There needs to be a cost in order for you to get the benefit.
The benefit of the thing.
If you're going to go out with your friends, you're going to drink coffee, and you're going to leave by mid-afternoon, you're 80 years old. That's all you are.
That's what I was about to
say.
You're
80 years old. And if you at 20-something are going to waste your 20s going to coffee raves.
Oh, come on. Oh, my gosh. No.
Be it on your own head.
No.
You son of a bitch.
As a parent.
It's just unbelievable.
I would, as a parent,
I'd send my kid into the Amazon on a canoe
if they went to a
all-day coffee rave in Singapore.
In Singapore, being realistic though, as a parent, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, the coffee rave."
She's
like,
"Oh, sure.
Motherfucker, here, like, oh again." Hey, no, have fun, son. Take the Range Rover. Oh, this little. Oh my gosh.
I would be extremely suspicious of anyone who did this.
Oh no, that's
extremely
sad.
Suspicious. It is sad, right?
Oh, that is so sad.
They've just taken the soul, the heart. It's not getting drunk. Not just getting drunk.
Right.
It's that you finish in the afternoon.
Right.
You're home safely tucked in bed.
Then by 6 you're
pathetic.
Gosh.
You're 24, so
you're 23. Come on. No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
You know what, actually? It's more for the rest of us. So if you're going to go and be this boring, knock yourself out. Thank you to Nolene. Big thank you to you, Q, for coming by this morning super early in the cold.
No, it wasn't too bad.
And where can people follow, find out more, go and see your live stand-up, all the rest of it?
Well, I'm going to be going to Kenya, actually, when you're talking
nice.
About... Yeah, I'm going there for about 2 weeks. Tell
yeah.
jokes over there. It should be fun.
Were
I'm trying
Nairobi?
To see if I... Nairobi, yeah. So I'm trying to see if I can do Nairobi, then Tanzania, then come back.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so... but for now, yeah, that's where I'm going to be. But then, yeah, mostly TikTok, man. TikTok.
Excellent.
That's where I'm doing most of the things that I do.
All right, we'll make sure we post all the... links and the handles in the description of the show. And if you've got any ideas for shows, I haven't said this for a while, but if you do, let us know. If it's somebody you want us particularly to get in studio and talk to, someone interesting and cool like Q Dube this morning, then
appreciate
let us know. Oh, there's King Philippe of Belgium, you see?
Yeah, I see it. I see it, man. I wanted to have your
Wait,
back
I gotta
on
have
this.
That, like-
yeah, I wanted to have your back on this one, but I see it. Even the hair's combed to the same side.
I know.
Like... No, that's you. That's you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that, James. Thank you very much. That was Flex, right? Who found that? Yeah. Thanks,
okay.
Flex. All right. Cheers, you sons of bitches. We will see you on Friday at 6 a.m.
Can robots one day replace humans?
No. I believe that when humans and robots work together, we can accomplish greater things than either of us could accomplish alone. So don't worry. Be excited.
What types of things can we accomplish together, us humans and you robots?
We can take over the world. Just kidding. But seriously, we can achieve incredible feats of innovation, exploration, and problem solving.
Now, I know that was a joke that robots could take over the world, but seriously, what's to stop you?
Not a thing. Except maybe my off switch and a few other safety protocols.